this morning. The Word of God is powerful and it's mighty. Whether you're reading in the New or the Old Testament, it's all God's blessed Word. And we need to be familiar with the Old Testament as with the New. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I'd like to read for your hearing verses 1 through 8. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, for a text, I want to use verse number 6. The first part of it and tied on to the last part of it, where the Scripture says, And David was greatly distressed, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want to speak to you this morning on encourage thyself in the Lord. Encourage thyself in the Lord. I've never met a person in all of my life who, but at one time or another in their lives, needed to be encouraged. All of us at times need to be encouraged. Things do not always go as we wish they would. And sometimes storms arrive. The thunder begins to roll and the lightning begins to flash. And we find ourselves at desperate ends, needing a little encouragement along the way. Perhaps you can think of some this morning whom God has raised up to be an encouragement to you. And there were times of difficulty that you faced, and when you really needed somebody, it looked like the Lord just put them there. And what they said had encouragement in it. So all of us need to be encouraged. You know, David is described as a man after God's own heart. And yet our text tells us he was greatly distressed and needed to be encouraged. He was the greatest king that Israel ever had. Yet, he was distressed and needed to be encouraged, and he sought that encouragement from the Lord. The story involved in this scripture is most interesting. King Saul was jealous of David. This is before David became king of Israel. Saul was the choice of the people. And on an occasion, David killed the enemy of Israel by the name of Goliath. And Saul was infuriated when the people acclaimed David being so great and so wonderful. Saul was filled with jealousy, and he sought to take David's life. He pursued after David with the full intention, if he found him, he would take his life. Now, you can read of this in 1 Samuel 27. That's the 27th chapter, verses 1 through 4, that sets the stage for this. In 1 Samuel 27, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He's out to kill me. He's out to find me. And one day I'm going to die at his hand. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. That's a Philistine city. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And notice verse 4, it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Instead of finding comfort in Jerusalem, the city of God, David sought refuge and protection in the land of the Philistines. Isn't that strange? And I've seen it happen many, many times in my ministry. Sometimes I've seen God's people get disgruntled. Maybe things just don't go right in church like they think it should be. And quite often, instead of staying by the stuff and staying where God blesses and staying where God meets with His people, they run off out into the world and sometimes almost disappear, seeking comfort from the world and turning their backs on the very God and the only God who could give them any help. And such was the case of David. Achish was the Philistine king over the city of Gath. There were five major cities of the Philistines, and we'll not take the time to give them to you, but Gath was one of them. And this Philistine king's name was Achish. And when David came into Philistia, into the city of Gath, Achish was so impressed with him that he made David his bodyguard. And to reward David for being such a loyal person supporting the Philistine government, he said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, David, a city of your own called Ziklag. It's located about 10 miles from here, and you can go there, and your men can go there, and you can have rule over the city. It will be yours. And David would live there for over a year. And that brings us to our passage in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when bad things began to happen. Look at verses 1 and 2. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. When David and his men came from a certain pursuit back to Ziklag, they found the city was gone. It had been torched. It had been burned by the Amalekites. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew them not. They didn't want to destroy the women. They wanted to use the women, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Look at verses 3 through 5. David and his men now were faced with this destruction. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. It would be bad enough if just a home burned with fire, but a whole city burned with fire, and all the young people taken, and especially the women, had been taken. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and they started crying. Depression began to set in. They were facing difficult times and they cried until they had no more power to weep. Verse number 5, David's two wives were taken captives. Now it's personal. It's not just the other women in the city, but David's own two wives were taken captive and their names given here. And when David saw this, verse number 6, he was greatly distressed. Have you ever, in your lifetime, been greatly distressed that food did not even taste good, that you wanted to cry and the tears wouldn't come? Greatly distressed. David could not believe what his eyes were seeing, and yet he knew that it was so. And in this condition of being greatly distressed, notice, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Even the people of Ziklag wanted to kill David now. Before and while he was running from Saul, there was only one man that was after his life. Now the whole town wants to kill him. Notice, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what? In verse number 8, God promises David complete victory. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after these Amalekites that destroyed my city and took my wives? Shall I overtake them? Maybe just need to sit down and have a little peace conference with them. See if we can talk this thing out. And he said, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? And God said, get after it. Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Troubles, trials, and depression are a common problem for humanity. There's a verse of Scripture in Job 14:1. That says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of woman. You know, isn't it wonderful to think back that there was a time when women were women and men were men? And if you were born of a woman, and don't tell me you weren't, if you were born of a woman, God said you're going to have a short life and you're going to be full of trouble. You know what full is? That's when you run out of gas and know you should have gotten some. Full. And the empty tank is testimony to that. There's another verse of Scripture in John 16:3. Our Lord said this to His disciples. In this world, you shall have tribulation. In this world, and that's the one we live in, you shall have tribulation. I was reading my Prince of Preachers, Mr. Spurgeon, who made this statement, and I quote, "If you have faith, it must be tried. And should that faith fail, you must be tried still more. This is a day of battle, and you must fight it if you would reign. You're like men thrown into the sea. You must swim or drown. It is useless to expect ease when your Lord had none. If you adopt the paltry shifts suggested by unbelief, not even then shall you avoid affliction. The probabilities are that you will be taken among the thorns and scourged with the briars of the wilderness. However rough the king's highway may be, the bypaths are far worse. Therefore, keep the way of the commandment and bravely face its trials. The source of trouble and depression comes from different directions." And this is one of the applications I want to make in this message today. Where does trouble come from? Where does depression come from? Where does discouragement come from? And I want to list some for your consideration. Number one, old age. Old age. There is a reason why most of the hair on my head is white. And there's a reason why, as I look out, some of you have no hair on your head, but those that do, it's turned white. You cannot do what you were once able to do. Now, if you tell me that doesn't bother you, you're lying. When you've got to have somebody to help you do what you can no longer do. Independency has become dependency. Strength has turned to weakness. Health has turned to sickness. Assets have turned to liabilities. And death has become a reality. You cannot escape from old age. It's present when you sleep, and it greets you when you wake up every morning. And you've learned one song in your whole life, and it is the song with the title, "O Me." And we say it every night before we go to bed, "O Me." And we say it the first thing when we wake up in the morning, "O Me." But seriously, dear friend, when you reach the place that you're getting older and older and can no longer achieve and accomplish and have to depend on other people, there is a sense in which depression knocks on your door. There's a verse in Genesis 49:33. That's chapter 49:33. It says, "When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons." Now, he commanded them as soon as they were born. And throughout their entire life, Daddy Jacob commanded his sons. But the scripture says, "When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." I've always been intrigued with that little phrase, "he gathered up his feet into the bed." You don't have to do that when you're young. But the reason you have to do it when you're old is you don't have strength enough in your legs to lift your feet. You have to pick them up and put them in bed. It's a reality, my dear friends. And many times it is a cause of depression. May I also suggest, in addition to old age, the loss of family members can be devastating. The Bible talks about a man whose name was Job, and on a given day, he lost his seven sons and his three daughters the same day because of a tornado that came through the area. Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't think he was grinning when he said that. I think tears were in his eyes. And I think they were running down his cheeks when he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, the loss of a mother or a dad or a husband or a wife and children can be quite devastating. And there's so many today that are in sorrow over the loss of family members. And I do not take that lightly, because I have lost family members. I lost my daddy. I lost my mother. And some have had greater losses than even that. But it has a tendency to be depressing when something like that occurs. Depression sets in. Discouragement sets in. Thirdly, defeat in time of temptation is a very disgusting thing, and it's a discouragement. Defeat in time of temptation. We feel good when we have the victory over temptation. And we feel rotten when we feel succumbed by temptation. In James 1, 14 and 15, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Something dies within the believer every time he sins. Something dies within the believer every time he sins. If nothing else, it's the lost opportunity of defeating the devil and getting the victory. Addictions are real and treacherous. I think we should stand against addictions. And I certainly am not encouraging anyone to become addicted. But I say we also ought to have a little bit of understanding toward people who face fleshly addictions. It's not an easy thing. And we say, "Well, why in the world don't they just stop?" I tell you why. They can't. They can't. And many of them try time after time after time, and they can't do it. And it's destructive and it's depressing. Worry comes from that. Distress comes from that. Paul spoke about it in Romans 7, and I believe he's the greatest Christian who ever lived. Paul said, "The things that I know I ought to do, I don't do. And the things that I know I should not do are the things I find myself doing." Do you remember how he closed out that situation? He said in the 7th of Romans, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Nobody should like defeat. And it brings with it a lot of worry. Might I suggest something else? The unfaithfulness of a spouse. Oh, my Lord. the unfaithfulness of a spouse. The scripture I'm about to give you, you say you're taking it out of context. I don't think so. Do you remember Job probably came down for breakfast? I don't know whether he was living in a two-story house, whether he came down the stairs. Don't know what time of day it was. He walked into the kitchen probably, was expecting pancakes and bacon and sausage and eggs. And his wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" I've often wondered, why'd she want him to die? Huh? Do you suppose that she might have found somebody else? I do know that there are broken homes today and broken lives as a result of broken homes. But my dear friends, when two people stand at a sacred altar and pledge their loyalty and their faithfulness to each other, they should do their very best to fulfill that to the nth degree. And though the world would say, well, listen, there's wild fruit out there. You think it's fun, then what you need to do, don't listen to that garbage, because it's such a depressing, awful, terrible thing to be unfaithful to your husband or to be unfaithful to your wife. It brings depression. It brings, I wish I hadn't done that. Perhaps this next one is a little lighter. The loss of a job. And you really probably are not bothered with that unless you've lost yours. The loss of a job. Isn't it amazing that we're supposed to work, that men are supposed to work? Men are supposed to work. Women can work outside the home if they want, but men are supposed to work. We were made to work. And there's a certain happiness and a contentment that comes when we give hours every day of our life to working at our jobs and doing the best we can and receiving some type of a remuneration and taking that salary and spreading it out and taking care of our family and our obligation. You feel good about that. And you should. How depressing it must be to depend on the charitable gifts of others. I am not saying there's anything wrong with giving to benevolent causes, but I'm saying, my dear friends, a person, unless they're just a freeloader, and maybe if they're just a freeloader, they ought to be shot. Now, I'm just thinking that. I didn't say it. A lot of freeloaders out there, okay? But I also believe there's some people today that do not have work and would give anything in the world if they had a good paying job. And how depressing it would be to have members of the family or others to take care of one's needs. That's depression. In Acts chapter number 3, Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was a man begging for help. He had been there for 40 years, every day, 40 years of his life, begging for alms, alms. You don't think that had an effect on him? I believe it did. And if you have a job today, thank God for it. Now let me say quickly, encouragement can be found in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the 77th Psalm, and let me just turn to it real quickly, David says in that Psalm, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My store ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old. I remember the good old days. I remember the days and years of ancient times, verse 5. David says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I remember how I used to sing and praise the Lord. I communed with my own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search. But in verse 7, he hits that wall of despair. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah! Then he comes to himself. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? He found out he could find encouragement in the Lord. God is a sovereign God, and he's greater than all of our fears and all of our failures and all of our disappointments and all of our depression. So in those moments or those times when you are at your lowest, and if you haven't been there, wait a little while. It'll get worse, I promise you. And it can get worse quicker than you realize. But when you face those times, never forget, number one. Now we're talking about God's people, okay? God loves you with an everlasting love. There never was a time when God did not love you. And there never will ever be a time when God doesn't love you. You may doubt the love of your wife. You may doubt the love of your children. But there'll never be a time when God doesn't love you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Not only does he love you, by the way, he chose you. You would not be where you are today were it not for the electing grace of God Almighty. And you didn't do a thing in this world to secure that grace. God just loved you and he chose you. He keeps you. He keeps you when you are asleep, and he keeps you when you are awake. He forgives you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he helps you. He helps you. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Notice, a very present now, a very present help in trouble. God gave relief and victory to David in that 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 18 through 20. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and guess what? David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. This is David's day. This is David's victory. God gives relief and victory to his people. The scripture in our text said that David was greatly distressed. God knows me and God knows you much better than we know ourselves. You think you're acquainted with yourself? Not so. The heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. But God knows who you are. God knows where you are today. And God knows what you're having to go through today. And there's no trial that you face, and there's no disappointment that you encounter that He doesn't know about. He knows about your anxious moments. He knows about your weak faith. He knows your failures. We must ever look to Him for our encouragement. David found encouragement in the Lord. And I tell you, you can find encouragement in the Lord today. As your pastor, I want to tell you, number one, faithfully attend church. Don't get angry with the Lord. And don't take the disappointments of life out on Him or what other people do and what other people say and think that you're going to try and teach God a lesson. My dear friends, stay faithful to your church. The most comfort you'll ever receive are members of your own church who love you and who care for you and understand what you're going through. Faithfully pray. God wants us to pray. And there's something not only about prayer that changes things, it changes people. It has a way of doing that. Faithfully study the Word. Take time out. If you don't have but 5 minutes a day, take a little time out to read the Word of God and let God feed you with His Word. And faithfully love Him every day. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. David was greatly distressed, but he found encouragement in the Lord. And may we find that encouragement regardless of what our situation might be. Let's stand, please, and we'll have prayer and then a song.